Translation. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now, I got these glasses recently, but it's kind of blurry. Vishal Prabhu has given me a nice pair of glasses, but maybe it's too far away. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning, one may commit many offenses, which are called Namabhas and Namaparad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse. Trinadapi sunichena tororavi sushchana. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound. Instead of chanting the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue, chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung around the neck. Garland. Translation once again. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it around your neck for continuous remembrance. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschastari Satarine Vancha Kalpatrupascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I humbly seek the blessings and mercy of the assembled Vaishnavas and the unassembled Vaishnavas today and all the eternal days to come. For you all are indeed very, very magnanimous and compassionate to the fallen souls such as moi. Last week we had very nice discourse, but even yesterday, because it follows on, only Saturday and Sunday is the CC. So yesterday we had a very entertaining class by Sachi Kishore Prabhu. Scholarly indeed, an academic. And last Sunday, His Grace Krishna Dharma Prabhu spoke extensively, and we had the power of the technology here with the projector, and all the verses were on the board. So, a very educational, systematic, and enlivening discourse. And now, Prabhuji, you have a baboon sitting on the Vyasasan. Niskinchan Prabhu, you have done a great injustice to the devotees. This will be a comical and juvenile class. So don't blame him. He wasn't to know that a baboon would be sitting here. This 17th chapter describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes from his 16th year until the time of his sannyas. The chapter describes the mango distribution festival and Lord Chaitanya's discourses to the Qazi, Chan Qazi. And just that little area of when the Lord engages hundreds and hundreds of thousands of devotees to march up to the palace of the Qazi. The Qazi is actually petrified, because the night before, Nrisingadev came to him and sorted him out. Nrisingadev was about to rip him apart, gave him the opportunity to survive. And during his discourse with the Lord, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi did mention that, look, I've got marks. Jai Shri Radha Goklananda ki jai, Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gonitai Bhagavan ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So when the Qazi sees and notices all the devotees performing Sankirtan coming up to his palace, he's very, very worried. For the devotees are about to obliterate everything. This is how he's feeling. And he doesn't come down. Mahaprabhu has to literally knock on his doors, that come down. Eventually, when the Qazi does appear down, and he mentions, look, you know, be kind to me. I'm an uncle to the entire province. I'm an uncle to Nadia, to Navadvip, to the entire province. Mahaprabhu says, yes, you are an uncle. And of course, he's reflecting on Krishna Leela. For the Qazi is none other than Mama Kans, the maternal uncle of Lord Krishna. So this chapter shows the same son of Mother Yashoda, Krishna. He's tasted the transcendental mellows of devotional service in the form of now being Sachinandan. And now at the end of this particular chapter 17, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, following in the footsteps of Srila Vyasadev, has summarized the Adi Leela pastime separately, which is what Vyasadev does in the Bhagavatam. He then separately describes the pastimes. Now, this particular area of the 17th chapter, I'm sure all of you would agree that in each and every book which Srila Prabhupada has compiled, great emphasis has been put on the Maha Mantra. Isn't it? Any book you pick up of Srila Prabhupada, you will find the Maha Mantra. Great emphasis is put on. Now, at the very beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, which incidentally is our handbook, our manual, not particularly the Bhagavad Gita, for us it's the Nectar of Devotion. And in the very beginning, Prabhupada states that if a person is born in a family of dog eaters or chandalas, malechas, it means that his past activities activities were very, all very sinful. But even if even such a person takes to the path of bhakti and begins to chant the holy names of the Lord, he is at once, he is fit to perform all ritualistic ceremonies. And this means that his sinful reactions have immediately become neutralized. Such is the power of the holy name. It is also stated that the Maha Mantra has so much power that it immediately attaches one to Krishna. Immediate attachment is to Krishna. And so, according to the NOD, the Maha Mantra should be chanted at least 100,000 times daily. Now, I'm sure all you devotees do that on a daily basis. However, Prabhupada, being so very merciful to us, mentions that if that is not possible, because we all have so much service to perform, so many books to distribute this month, it may not be particularly possible. Then one can minimize the chanting according to one's own capacity. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that in ISKCON we do chant a recommended rounds of a minimum of 16 daily. And I vividly recollect a time in Mayapur when, at the time of my Diksha initiation in the temple room in Mayapur Dham, Guru Maharaj giving me initiation, and it came my turn to come up with the vows, and he said, "Okay, how many rounds will you chant?" And I said, 16. And then, my surprise, I was utterly shocked. He said, "Will you on Ekadashi chant 25 rounds? And I'm thinking, "Oh Lord, I don't want to take this vow." I hesitate. I look at my authority, Shruti Dhamma Prabhu. He's looking at the ceiling, he's looking at the floor, and he's thinking, "This foolish boy, he'd better take the vow. And I'm not ready to take this vow." I'm thinking, 25, okay, it's only twice a month. But do I really have to take this vow? It's an extra 9 rounds. I can't do it. I'm very reluctant. Of course, my Guru Maharaj is very, very merciful, exceptionally merciful. "I know that you're busy in life, doing a lot of service, so maybe you can try to chant extra rounds on Ekadashi." Saved. I don't have to take the vow. So even 16 rounds, sometimes it's a difficulty, isn't it? I remember before the road was constructed, Janmashtami was such a difficult time for chanting. And even now. And we used to have a backlog of rounds accumulating, you know, from 32 to 64 to plus. And we would have to note down after the clear up of Janmashtami, which used to take forever. We'd go to Virginia Waters, headed by His Grace Shruti Dhamma Prabhu. He can walk. Shruti Dhamma Prabhu can walk. He can walk and walk. And he used to make us all march up and down the park 8 to 10 hours a day trying to catch up rounds. So even 16 rounds is a problem. But 100,000 names of the Lord is what's recommended here. When stating the 10 offenses in the NOD, 10 offenses are stated everywhere in many, many of the scriptures. Prabhupada writes again and again. But in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very serious statement. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is beneficial for eradicating all sins. But if one becomes an offender to the holy name, then one has no chance of being delivered. No chance of being delivered. When I recently read that, I thought, oh my Lord, I've got no chance whatsoever. I'm doomed, truly doomed. In the Padma Purana, there is a very intriguing statement. For any person who is chanting the holy name, either softly or loudly, the paths to liberation and even heavenly happiness are at once open. So that I became much more jubilant after reading that. Softly or loudly, it doesn't state offensive or non-offensive. No. The paths of liberation are open. I became a little better. My mood became more enthusiastic. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami addresses the king Parikshit in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11. The Goswami mentions Itan nirvidyatmananam uchatam akuto bayam yoginam nripunirknitam harir namanu kirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-realized and self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Constant chanting of the holy name is what's been recommended and prescribed here. To this verse, Prabhupada gives a very, very elaborate purport. It goes on for several pages. Very lengthy. And it's mentioned, Prabhupada states, by offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord. Acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord. I mean, just by chanting. That's deep. That's very, very deep. And then, with the attributes of the Lord. Acquainted with the attributes of the Lord. Just by chanting. One should chant the holy name constantly after hearing it from authorities. This is what's been stated in the second canto. Now, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings the song of Nagar Kirtan. Nagar Kirtan, meaning the marketplace of the holy name. We've all come across this bhajan. Very, very sweet. And the Thakur compiles four verses. And in the very first verse, the translation is, Nityananda Mahajan so mercifully opens the marketplace in Nadia Godruma for the welfare of the suffering souls. And in that marketplace, only the holy name is traded. There is no other trading going on. Just the holy name. What is the price in the second verse of the song? What is the price? Shraddha vanajanehe. Shraddha vanajanehe. This is the price. Those who have faith in the holy name and faith in the words of Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. This is the price. Faith, only those persons are allowed to enter that marketplace. For it is not possible for everyone to enter. They can buy and sell the holy name. Sri Nityananda Prabhu requests the faithful persons, those who have developed faith in the holy name, to come and take. It's free. It's free. Just come and take. Sri Nityananda Prabhu says, "This is the order of my Lord, my Prabhu, my Master. Therefore I have come to your doorstep. Oh brother, oh, I am a beggar." Nityananda Prabhu saying, "I am a beggar. I beg for these alms. Utter the names of Krishna. Do Krishna bhajan. Accept what Krishna has taught us. These are the alms I am begging from you." The Lord himself is going around begging. These are the alms. In the third verse of the song, "Chant this holy name without offense." Chant the pure name of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna is mother. Sri Krishna is father. Sri Krishna is everything. Sri Krishna is the Lord of my heart. And finally, in the fourth verse, "Give up all bad dealings, habits, and behavior, and enter into Krishna samsara." Give up everything. The only relationship is with Sri Krishna. Establish yourself in that relationship. Shower mercy on all the jivas, seeing them as Sri Krishna's, and completely surrender onto the holy name of Sri Krishna. This is the essence of all dharma. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The other day I was listening to a lecture a few years back. Radhanath Maharaj speaks on the pastime of Jagai and Madai. And this particular pastime is so crucial in the Sankirtan movement of the Lord. Because as soon as Jagai and Madai were converted, were given Krishna praying, everything changed for the Sankirtan movement. It was like a paradigm shift. There was so much expansion. Jagai and Madai, as we may know, were born in a very pious Brahmin family. Jagai was known as Jagat Anandan. And Madai was Madhavanandan. So such illustrious names. Sons of Brahmins. And yet, due to bad association and certainly the will of providence, they became exceptionally Gnostic. Very, very degraded. Seemingly performing heinous acts. So when Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda noticed from a distance these two brothers, and they were surrounded by many individuals because they were behaving in such an obnoxious manner. If they couldn't beat someone else up, they'll beat each other up. Utterly intoxicated. Very, very powerful, muscular, tall, handsome. But they were performing such heinous acts. And Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, he said to Haridas, "Let's go and deliver them. Now, Haridas Thakur, he's reluctant, naturally. Because if Advaita Acharya was there, he wouldn't have gone with the Lord. But Haridas Thakur, being a little more submissive, he went along. And Lord Nityananda began to preach to the two individuals. And just after a little while, both of them ran after the two lords. You've got Brahma Haridas and you've got Mahasankarshan. Powerful personalities. And they're being chased after these two asuras. Can you just imagine that? And as they're running, because they're running, they're trying to get away, because they're somewhat seemingly artificially fearful that they'll be beaten up by two thugs. And as they're running, Haridas mentions to Nityananda that, "I know you're an avaduta, but did we have to enter here? Now look what you've got us into." Nityananda responds by saying, "It's nothing to do with me. I'm just following the orders of our Lord. Blame Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's the one who's put us in this dilemma, not me." So that way they're running and they're having this conversation. And now and again they look back to see if they're still being chased. After a little while they get away. They go into some alleyway, some gully, and they escape. And the brothers, because they see Jaga and Madai, they see no one is here, so they end up beating each other up, which is what they generally do. Sometime later, Lord Nityananda convinces Haridas once again that, "Let's try again." "Are you crazy? We don't want to go there." Nityananda, he mentions, "Look, if we convince these two personalities, that'll be such an important event for us in the movement. If these two brothers become devotees, the whole of Nadia will follow. All the asuras will come and they'll become devotees. This is what we're meant to do." So he grabs Haridas reluctantly and off they go. And once again they're in the arena, the battle arena, the arena of the two brothers, and Nityananda Balaram, Brahma Haridas. As soon as Madai sees the two lords, in an intoxicating manner he picks up the clay pot, broken clay pot. Jagai sees his brother doing this and stops him. "Don't do this. He's a mendicant. Don't strike him. We'll be doomed." Madai doesn't listen. And he grabs that piece of clay pot and he swings, chucks it, throws it at the Lord. This missile is coming to the forehead of the Lord. On the left temple, it hits the Lord. And as it hits the Lord, strikes him. And the Lord's entire head is covered with blood. His blue attire is covered with blood. Brahma Haridas is shocked. Virtually, he steps back. He can't understand what's happened here. The others who are around sees what has happened. And then there is some little silence. And during that silence, Mahaprabhu has heard what the catastrophe has occurred. And immediately he gets there to the spot. As he's traveling there, literally he becomes Lord Narsingha, transforms himself. And soon as he gets to the spot, the Sudarshan Chakra is about to strike. And he immediately appears, the Sudarshan appears and he's about to strike Madai, Madhavananda. And soon as Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, he sees the appearance of the Sudarshan, he approaches Gauranga Mahaprabhu. "Please, no, don't do this. Do not do this. Convert these two. Don't annihilate them. This is not what we're meant to be here for. These are not your teachings. And hence, thereafter, the mercy is being distributed to the two brothers who become pure devotees. Jagai and Madai. And in due course, both of them are chanting 200,000 names of the Lord daily. Now that's approximately 116 rounds they are chanting. So can you imagine what is occurring now? And at one point, Madai is so repenting of his activities, of his previous activities. He's repenting. And he's thinking, what can be done? For I have offended countless, countless living entities. I have to seek the mercy of Lord Nityananda once again. Both brothers along the Ganges, they're continuously chanting. And on one particular morning, the Lord is strolling around, because Lord Nityananda, this is what he does. He's strolling around throughout Nadia like a young boy, converting everyone, everything, every being, giving Krishna praying. And at a distance, Madai sees the Lord appearing there. And he just runs to the Lord and dives at his lotus feet, grabbing his lotus feet, tears in his eyes because he's repenting of what has occurred. And he offers prayers, elaborate prayers. The Lord picks him up. And Madai questions the Lord, why? Why did you allow me to strike you? Why me? You could have picked someone else. Why did you allow me to strike you? And the offense I have committed to countless living entities, what can I do? Tell me, what can I do? He's repenting. And the Lord just embraces him. And where Lord Nityananda embraces Madai, there's an entire transformation. An entire transformation. And due to the holy name of the Lord, Madai understands his position. Simply an instrument. Simply an instrument. Now, many of us would remember a time, maybe not even so long ago, when we had chanted sincere japa. For me, it's been a long, long time, for I have lost the taste completely. Who here remembers chanting their very first round? Who remembers? Mataji at the back. Wow. You remember. How many years back, Mataji? For 1975, Mataji remembers her very first round. Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah. For me, it was after my O levels, and there was the summer break, and I had to decorate the house, which was not something which I'd want to do. And I was picking at the small books. And at the back of coming back, there was the little pull-off thing where you send it off and you have to buy postal orders, you know. So I went to the post office and I ordered from the BBT one bead bag and one set of beads. And I was really waiting for when it turns up. And I think it was July 1985, 10 years after you. And funny enough, within a few days, the parcel came. And I opened it. It was a very bright summer's day. It came in the morning, about 9:30. Opened it up, and these beautiful neem beads with a nice bead bag. And I rushed straight away into my bedroom. And I sat on the floor, and it took 20 minutes to chant one round. And in the books, you know, you're meant to chant 16 rounds, and I thought, oh my Lord, I can't do this. 20 minutes, that was the first round. And then can anyone remember or recollect chanting sincere rounds? How far back has it been? Sincere rounds. Remember any sincere rounds? A place, maybe in the temple room, maybe another temple, maybe out on the grounds. Has it been 1 week? Has it been a day? Has it been a year? Can you recollect? For me, it's been many, many moons ago. And I fail to recollect. But one time, a sincere chanting was there. In September of 1992, not here, in Radhadesh. We all went on a retreat after the Janmashtami. And there in the Brahmachari ashram in the Radhadesh, you know, there's a long, long corridor upstairs. And the temple room is somewhat smaller. And it's a long corridor. And I chanted these rounds, and I still remember those sincere rounds. And I failed to recollect any other memory. So it goes to show how much improvement I need to make. Then, of course, there's chanting in fear. Fearful chanting is quite memorable. The other day I was driving and I was leaving our warehouse, and I was doing a right turn, and one young lady on the other side was about to collide with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Awake, a wake-up call. Or when you've had a dream, a nightmare, you immediately wake up, Hare Krishna. Somewhat fearful. Take shelter of the holy name. Difficult times. Fearful times. I remember it was the summer of 89, and we were very excited in the Saving the Temple campaign, and we had printed these wonderful, very nice white t-shirts with a nice logo. Those days the clothes were of good quality. Now it's just quantity. You know, everything is quantity, isn't it? But good quality t-shirts we had printed. When it comes to quality, it's Pranabandha Prabhu. He likes quality. So we had printed these nice t-shirts with a nice logo with the temple. It's a red logo with something at the back. And I'm wearing this and I'm coming down for japa. I'd missed Mangalati because the day before we had a youth festival which went on and on. So I'd missed Mangalati, and I came down looking like a nice devotee with fresh tilak, beautiful bead bag, and I'm thinking, I'm going to chant today. And I come into the temple room, I go round and round, and I'm chanting, pretending I'm chanting. It's all a pretense. I'm a big pretender. I go round several times, and just here, seated at the back here, is Balabhadra Prabhu, Puri Maharaj, from Scotland. Now, when he sits there, there's a circumference of at least 2 miles. No one wants to sit with him. That's fearful. And as I'm coming round here, and he calls me over, and I thought, uh-oh. So he said, sit. And so I sat in fear. And he said, you're a pretender, laddie. You're a pretender. You're not chanting at all. And he's Scottish. I'm not very good at Scottish accent. You can't control the mind at all. Sit here and chant. Chant with me. Okay. And it was 6:30. I remember there was a clock there. 6:30, another half an hour to go until Didi greetings. And it was the longest half an hour I had ever experienced in my entire life. For I was chanting japa in fear. He's looking at me. He's being very merciful to me. educating me in the science of japa. Focus your mind, laddie. Focus. I'm thinking, why is he picking on me? There's all these devotees. I'm just a new devotee. You know, I've got a t-shirt on. I don't even have a blinking kuta on. Focus your mind. So he's drilling it into me. This is chanting in fear. Of course, it was very, very useful for me. I'd learned many lessons. But it was a time, it's a time like this when a class appears on the holy name that you recollect these events. Because you then tend to forget. On occasions when chanting japa in particular, Prabhus, especially in unison, in the association of others, you may tend to listen to another devotee chanting. You may tend to listen. And then you may think, has he missed a Hari here and a Krishna there and a Rama here? Is it complete? Of course, you're not thinking about your own japa because it's all over the place. On many occasions, I do recollect on one particular devotee and I listen. He's definitely chanting weird. It's not right. But then when you are told, Prabhu, your chanting is a bit too fast. How long does it take you to chant a round? I've done 16 rounds in 1 hour 15 minutes. That's a bit quick. I'm afraid, you know, your chanting is a bit it's a bit too fast. Who are you to tell me it's too fast? Just because I can chant quicker than you doesn't mean that I'm chanting offensively. What nonsense. So soon as there's judgment and you're being judged, it may be anything, not particularly chanting, any particular aspect of your service, I become very defensive. No, surely not. Not me. My chanting's fine and okay, a little mechanical now and again. But, you know, I'm only human. The chanting's fine. Not an issue. But then I came across one particular area in the Bhagavatam, in the purport, where it's mentioning that if another devotee gives constructive criticism, it may be coming from the Paramatma. It may be that Krishna is directly telling you through this devotee. So I read that bit and I thought, yes, of course. Of course, prior to all of that, and of course in future as well, because I will forget. Prior to that, I'm thinking, how can he be coming from Krishna? How can the Paramatma be speaking from him? Forget it! But, yes, accept it, Nilamadava Das, accept it. It could be coming from the Lord himself. So be conscious of it, my dear boy. Be conscious of it. And in particular in Gauranga Leela, there's one very nice pastime, very sweet, very short. Time is of the essence, I can see. But very short pastime, there's one particular devotee by the name of Rupa Kaviraj. And he's giving a class, Bhagavatam class, on the bank of the Ganges. And within the audience, there is one Mataji. Her name is Krishna Priya Takurani. And she's chanting away on her beads, constantly chanting. And the Kaviraj notices her and is upset. If you want to listen to my class, then put your bead bag away. Stop chanting. If you don't want to listen, then go off, stroll along and chant your rounds. You can't do both. The Kaviraj was upset. Very upset. Of course, later on, the Takurani comes to him and mentions to him, I'm really, really sorry for committing such an offense to you. But unfortunately, I just can't stop chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even during the conversation, she's kind of chanting in between. I can't stop the tongue vibrating. It's a disease maybe that I have. My, please, my obeisance is onto you. I apologize for the apparat I have committed. Kaviraj wouldn't accept it. And unfortunately, in due course of time, the Kaviraj caught leprosy. Because even though the Thakurani didn't see it as an apparat from him, the Lord had taken it as an apparat. And as a result, Rupa Kaviraj got leprosy. So there are many occasions where we can actually do something to prevent offensive chanting. There is something which we can do. The choice is ours. For in certain acute times, we are very much concentrating on the Maha Mantra, right? When there are difficulties, we may concentrate. Just to sum up, in the Sri Namamrita. The Sri Namamrita is a compilation of many, many verses from Srila Prabhupada all about chanting. And quite honestly, I seldom pick it up. It's like a book which accumulates dust and has been for many, many years on the shelf. Because it's when you pick it up, it's quotes which you feel are kind of standard. Oh, you know it all. Minds thinking, Nilamadava, you know it all. Why do you need to read this? Isn't it basic? No, it's not basic. In the Sri Namamrita, Prabhupada gives the verse, the very famous verse of Kalo Dosha Nidirajan. Asti Eka. Asti He Eka Mahanguna. That very famous verse. The most important factor is this, in this age of Kali, is in which an ocean of faults in the age of Kali, but the most important factor is that one can be free from all contamination and become eligible to enter the kingdom of the Lord simply by chanting. A very, very important factor. A very, very simple process. For the same verse stipulates that in previous millennia, it was far more difficult. Simple process been given. And in conclusion, I did wish to share with you all, but if time permits, Thakur Bhaktivinod, his poem, which I haven't read out or sung out in quite some time, but the protector of the devotees, the protector or the defender of the devotees. This poem is entitled Sharanagari Vaishnav. There are 22 verses. Now, if I were to sing these 22 verses, it generally takes about 8 minutes. We don't have 8 minutes, so I may skip a couple of verses. But just quickly, I have to chant these verses because I've been dying to do so all night. I've been contemplating on chanting. In 1871, the great Thakur compiled this poem, an exceptionally profound compilation. It's in Old English. I'm not much of a singer, pretty useless, but I'll give it a go for your pleasure. Alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms for their hearts in air employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Was man intended to be a brute? In work and heart, should man, the lord of all around, from common sense depart. The flesh is not our own, alas, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confided for former wrongs should try to rise again. Why then this childish playing that which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose are blown? Our life is but a rosy hue to go ere long to nought. The soul alone would last forever with good or evil frout. For thee thy sire in high has kept to store of bliss above, to end of time thou art, O his, who wants but purest love. It's very strong words. But thine to love thy brother man, and give thyself to God, and God doth know your wage is fair. This fact is too true and broad. Forget the past that sleeps, and ne'er the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. There rests my soul from matter free, upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. Are all my chanting charms. And there the Thakur concludes. Thank you all very, very much for listening. If there are any comments and corrections, gladly accepted. Questions.